The Pure Jamie Milne Podcast. Where we have a dream to create a community full of happy, healthy, and knowledgeable people who create global positive change through sharing their journey. Tune in, saddle up, and listen in. Be inspired. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to JMT TV, and I'm very privileged and honoured to have the newest member of the JMT TV, the newest member of the JMT team here, Mr. Joe Price. Mr. Joe Price has come all the way from Wales, ex-military, Queen's Guard. I find that quite amazing. I love myself a little bit of English history, Welsh history. I love it, love it, love it, love it. So we're very privileged to have him here, ex-military PDI as well. Joe, how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, guys, it's been such a privilege to be part of the team for the last, I think it's 2 weeks on Friday, and
yeah,
I've been welcomed in, and I can't think, thank you and Liz enough, so.
No, you're welcome, man. Awesome. No, the privilege is all ours. Remarkable background, tons to say, but first of all, like in a even just a short little, like an elevator pitch, give us a little overview, mate. Elevator pitch, 90 seconds of this will probably blow out to about 15 minutes, but it's all right, we want to know. Nah, give us a little bit of your background, Joe, just a little bit. I shared a tiny fraction, but you obviously got a great career.
So I've trained for most of my life. My older brother started off, and I was only 12 years old, and he had a weights bench in my grandmother's bedroom, so I imitated him. We were all very very heavy kids, as our parents just fed us junk food. I mean, no fault of their own, they were busy parents, they just they fed us what we wanted rather than what we should have had. And so I was quite overweight all the way through school, but I was playing rugby, so I had a kind of excuse for being the chubby one, because I was I was a second row, so I was a little powerhouse, so they said. But then I wanted to join the army ever since, well, the military ever since 9/11. I mean, I was only 11 years old when it happened.
Wow.
But it wasn't as much as getting vengeance against the Taliban. I just got obsessed with watching the army on TV and seeing the helicopters and tanks nonstop, and I followed it on the news for 3 years. And that sort of want to join never really left me. And so I ended up joining the Navy originally when I was 17, because the army was full because of the time it was the financial crisis back in 2008. So anyway, cut long story short, I wanted to join the army or the Navy, but I got told I was too fat. And but he was right, he really was. And that's what basically started my ambition to start losing weight, because I had to, because he literally wouldn't let me join unless I was at a set weight.
Wow.
So then I did all I knew to do, which was just to run, because I was living in the valleys back in Wales. I just put weight on my back and I just ran the weight off. Like, obviously I had age on my side, luckily, and I was just burning more than I was eating, so I lost I think about 15 kilos on and all. So at my heaviest I was 17 storm, so that must be about 120 kilos when I was 16. Very, very heavy.
That is steady in the breeze, brother. That is steady in the 16. Wonder you're playing rugby.
I was playing rugby though.
No wonder you're playing rugby. You probably played for Wales, mate. So, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So then, I ended up joining, and like I said, I walked away with the recruits of the top recruit award and the best at physical training award. So turned it right around. And then ever since, when I got back from Afghanistan in 2012. The meaning changed entirely for me, because it went from wanting to be physically fit and wanting to look good to then I know it's as drastic as it sounds, is having a reason to get out of bed. I lost five of my friends got killed when I was in Afghanistan, and when I got back I just generally didn't know how to mingle back into society again. And a lot of my friends who I was living with, because we were living in the barracks, they were going out on the drink and fighting every night, and I knew I didn't want to go down that road. And I used to lock myself in my room and just, if they were trying to persuade me to go out drinking, I would basically hide in the gym.
Yeah.
And
under a barbell, they won't see me here.
At first I was in there, I wasn't even training, first of all. It was just just to hide from the guys. It's just the only place
that
I
could really hide. Okay?
Then I started training, started weightlifting, started getting into CrossFit. And I'd spend my evenings, hours and hours, just under a barbell. And that's what, in terms of then where that led to, in terms of programming my diet and, my training, my mobility. And that's what, that's what kept me, afloat for many years. I finally went forward and had counseling about 3 or 4 years later, but in that time between before actually going to speak to someone, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have training and if I didn't have, like I said, if I wasn't feeding myself the right food, because once again, the two went hand in hand. I needed to take my training more seriously, so I started eating better. And then, like I said, it was a fire that sort of fueled itself, alternating back and forth between the two. And I'm not laying this on thick. I generally don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for training.
Wow. Mate, I am even more curious. What a remarkable story. What a remarkable story. Yeah, and it makes total sense to how you've done the full 180, and I obviously understand it to a degree. But yeah, phenomenal. And so for you guys watching or listening, Joe also is heavily involved in academia, formal education, has a background in nutrition. What led you beyond what you've shared? What sort of led you with your passion and interest, curiosity for nutrition?
So, even though I've always been interested in the physical aspect, and still am, obviously coaching people physically, but then I'm fully aware of what can happen, just as important aspect is what goes on in the other 23 hours which people aren't in the gym.
Yeah.
And what I find personally, and was during lockdown, where we weren't, because I was in lockdown, I was in the UK during lockdown, and everything closed for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And the only capacity that I could basically manage people's health during the time with my clients was to manage their nutrition. In the sense that I knew that, because obviously people's physical activity, even if they were still training in the garden or wherever the case was, that their normal daily lives weren't as busy as they were. So their natural, daily calorie expenditure was decreasing, because they weren't going to work, they weren't walking to the bus or whatever the case was. And I knew that the only way that I could keep my clients motivated and keep them from gaining, stupid amounts of weight, was to start helping them with their food. Because one thing I noticed after talking to, because at the time I had 65 clients at the time between my personal training and my group training.
Because you had online, yep. You do and online then, coaching.
But I basically started a Facebook group. That's all I started off as, was in March of 2020. I just set up a temporary Facebook page, but then obviously once time went on, I ended up getting a website, and obviously it developed a little bit further. So I built up to 130 clients at my peak. That was the most I could manage. It was a lot. But one thing that I discovered was, regardless of how intelligent people were, like I said, I had lawyers, doctors, engineers, people just don't know about food. So it's something that we're never taught about. I mean, I remember getting taught how to bake bread in school. We're not taught about, we're not taught what calories are, what the individual macros are, and what they do. And I just think, it's considering it powers us and it fuels our life, it's shameful in a way that they don't try to find some space in there to teach people about food.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
So moving down to basically what I'm trying to say is, I found that throughout my life, regardless of how busy I've been with work or with university, or when I was moving to Australia, one thing that I had control over, if I couldn't get to the gym or if I just didn't want to train for whatever reason, if the injury, for example, if I kept my nutrition sound and where it should be, then I wouldn't gain weight. I wouldn't find myself retreating. I managed to keep my strength for a couple of weeks once I wasn't training, just because I was fueling myself with the food that I needed to.
Yeah.
So I just think that regardless of what someone's outcome is, whether they're trying to lose weight, whether they're training for performance or they're just training just to keep their body composition where it needs to be, all three of those are down to nutrition. Because we all know you can work your ass off in the gym, but once again, it can be all thrown away, within half an hour of leaving you.
Get into the car and the car park.
It's not too bad out here in terms of, there's coffee shops everywhere, but there's notorious for Starbucks everywhere back in the UK, drive-thrus.
Yeah.
And because obviously the temperature, people could, they burn 400-500 calories in the gym, but then they go and drink an 800-calorie hot chocolate on the way home, because it's just liquid calories. They don't realize how much is in there.
Marshmallows, chocolate sprinkles, and a cookie.
Extra syrup, exactly.
Yeah. Mate, so interesting. So in terms of the hierarchy of health and fitness and stuff, so where do you place nutrition personally? Like if there were a pyramid or something, if we've got, where would you put?
If I'm being completely honest, I'd put it top.
Would you?
For the simple fact that, even though, yes, training is important, but there's times where we can't train. During COVID, for example, when gyms were shut, people didn't have a bunch of equipment back home. But one thing that they did have full control over was what they fed themselves.
Yeah.
And the reason why I put it top is because, even though training builds us and it obviously strengthens us, it's nutrition, which is going to help us keep, you know, it gives us that fuel and that energy and those minerals to be able to continue to grow. And, you know, not just for this, as long as we plan on training, for, you know, for the rest of our lives. And, you know, if we were to take the fitness aspect, which is just focus on health, blood pressure, cholesterol, you know, prevented diabetes, that's all down to food. And, and I'm not, I mean, it's difficult to say, because I'd be a hypocrite to say training at the time wasn't as important for me mentally, because it got me in the gym, it got me talking to people, it gave me the social aspect.
Yeah.
But I would put it a fraction closer.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that only because you have that extra advantage that if for whatever reason you cannot train,
yeah,
you still have the option to feed yourself well.
Yeah. So, I love that point, mate. I just think that when you first said it then, sorry to interrupt you, Joe, like it makes total sense. Like you could, I know times when I haven't been able to train, or you know, other people I know they can't train for whatever reason. But I personally feel fine if I have a day or two of a very good nutrition. It's kind of like, oh, that's okay. Absolutely. I've missed a couple of days. I'll get back to it when I can. And you haven't got that, or I haven't got that sort of remorse or guilt or feeling like, oh fuck, I've got to go.
Absolutely. And I think another reason why it's important is it allows you to enjoy training more personally, in the sense that, once again, if you're not focusing that much on your calories, for example, you know, and all you're focusing on coming in is just to, because I've run classes in the past where people have been linked up to a heart rate monitor and they've been running over to their screen constantly to see what zone they're in, because all they focus on is just burning calories.
Yeah.
And because they know that they've, you know, they've had a Big Mac for lunch, for example, they want to burn her off. Whereas at least if you know your nutrition is sound, you can come in and you can just enjoy the workout, you can focus on the quality of the movements, you can focus on the social interaction without worrying how many, you know, looking at your watch constantly, see how many calories you've burned. So once again, I mean, I've been coaching fitness for 16 years. I mean, I love training, and it's the pinnacle of my life.
Yeah, big part of your
life.
But
one thing I know, as I said, is nutrition goes hand in hand, and if I could only, you know, once again, if you had to choose, you know, over the next couple of months, you know, to do any advancement in your health, training will get you far, but then this nutrition is going to tip you over that edge and, you know, guarantee those, you know, those results that you want.
Whoa, I love that, mate. And so on that note, when you had 130 clients and you had your online platform coaching people, is there any sort of, look, I love a good success story, and I've seen a bit of your stuff online. Is there a story that jumps out at you, or even a couple of short ones? Just run us through it. I'd love to hear.
There's two ladies in particular. There's a lady called Jane who she was due to have a gastric sleeve fitted, and once again, this was during COVID, so she was on a waiting list for a long time.
Yeah.
Thankfully, and I managed to speak to her before she had the surgery. And even though when I first started training with her, I basically just suggested on losing a bit of weight before the surgery, just to make sure there weren't any complications during the surgery. But we ended up losing, you know, luckily we were waiting so long for the surgery, we just naturally lost the weight that she no longer needed to have the surgery.
Yeah.
And it was 22 kilos she lost in 16 weeks. But she was, like I said, granted, she was a heavy lady, so she had that to lose.
Yeah.
And
still, in that time. Yeah.
So the first 2 or 3 weeks, it was sort of 3 kilos at a time, big jumps, but then it sort of leveled off to around about a kilo a week.
Yeah.
But then, as with the next lady I'll tell you about, but it's more a case of she was at the point where she was driving to work, she was, you know, which wasn't that far away. She was having arguments with her husband because he was able to go out and, you know, do things that she couldn't, but then eventually then she started, you know, she finally was able to walk to work, she was able to go out for walks with her husband and actually enjoy life more. And it wasn't just the weight loss in terms of how she looked, because once again, that's a very, you know, linear way to, you know, to judge your outcome for a client. It was what it then allowed her to do. So, but once again, in terms of the overall accomplishment, it was the avoiding the surgery.
Avoiding the surgery, then, yeah, huge.
Second client, then lady called Nikki. She lost 26 kilos with me, and she went from being able to do nothing, pretty much sofa bound, to then being able to. She started park run.
Shout out park running.
And she also went on and did her motorbike license. She just found this newfound love for life, and she started to go out and just do it. So that's the running theme with everyone I trained. It wasn't just, I mean, the words again, the appearance is great, because I mean the friends compliment them, but then again, it's what can you, you know, if same again. If you're just on your own and there's no one there to compliment you, what can you go on and do that you couldn't do previously?
Yeah.
You know, I know you asked for two, but I'll give you one more. A client named Ritesh, he's a very successful salesman, Indian guy. Surprise, surprise.
As soon as you said the name,
Ritesh.
He's a fucking salesman.
He took his family to Iceland, and they did he paid for this, you know, all singing, all dancing glacier trip. And they all pulled up in the minivan with these ice shoes, and he was too fat to get his shoes on. He was too, you know, his feet wouldn't fit in the
plant, yeah,
you know, wherever they were called. And obviously, you know, he didn't want to waste the family's trip, obviously, so he sent them on. And obviously, they went and they had all these pictures.
Oh.
And he came back in the minivan. That was the turning point for him. Yeah, and so this was in December of 21.
That would have stung.
And then I trained him, and then 12 months on, he repeated the same trip the year after, and he was able to get his shoes on. He went on the walk, and he had his pictures with the family, and it's just, and once again, I know we've spoken about this briefly, but I know it's not a case of making people feel bad about themselves, but I just know firsthand from the people I've trained of just how happier people are when they've shed all that weight and they're able to go on and do things that they never thought they could, and just the quality of life they're able to gain from eating well.
Just that alone, like your Indian client there, like being able to then go back a year later, take part with his family, like that's huge. Yeah, I remember I had a friend of mine, he was a big Polynesian guy, he was half Hawaiian, half Maori, and he was about 6'4" and about the same that way, and his dream was to just be able to go to the theme parks with his kids, because he'd just have to stand there and watch his kids go on the rides.
Yeah.
So yeah, when he finally got that weight off and was able to take part in at least a couple of the rides, like massive, and like you're saying, people getting their quality of life back. It's not necessarily just the linear amount on the scales, it's what it enables people to be able to do. Man, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So look, just a few little, so for people watching, I mean, it's such a hot topic, man, and depending on, and one thing that's impressed me a lot with Joe, for those that are listening, like a bit like yourself, mate, I've come from the military and I've also been in the fitness industry a long time, and heard lots of, you know, different theories, as we all have, and nutrition is a little bit like religion, everybody's got an opinion of it, but I think very few truly understand it at a deep level. And even just listening to you a few times, like a handful of times, you spoke to the Riot group, the runners, and like the info was incredible. Like, and this is sort of old dog, new tricks type thing. I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. So to tease out a few more resources from that magnificent mind of yours, a couple of tips. Like there might be people that are listening or watching that are like, one, they might want to start a weight loss journey or yeah, we'll keep it simple. One, they might want to lose a bit of weight, start that journey. Two, an individual, there's a few people in here actually that are looking to put weight on. And three, I know myself and there's a couple of others that are looking for performance. We're looking to enhance performance. So would you have a basic tip for each of those different lenses, just a nice basic.
So luckily the weight loss and the weight gain aspect is, I say, simple. It's simple in theory, but it's difficult to apply long term. And as much as people resent hearing this term, there is no arguing against calories in, calories out. I know people hate those words, with the minor exception for some medicines and for some hormonal imbalances. Obviously, if you do have issues with your thyroid, which is a genuine problem and is quite common. But outside of those aspects, it's what's known as the law of conservation of mass and energy. Mm-hmm. In simple terms, if the building blocks aren't coming in, there's nothing there to build with. So therefore, because obviously our bodies are calorie burning machines, if we aren't bringing the resources in, the body is constantly burning calories every day. That's known as our BMR.
Yeah.
So if our body is burning energy and we're not taking anything in, the body will naturally start to lose weight.
Yeah.
I know it's a horrible example to use, but if you look at, you know, nations where we don't have, there's not food, or what's the other, it's saying the word, you know, just Africa, for example.
Yeah.
That's why there's obviously an issue with starvation, in the sense that they just haven't got this constant access to food that we have. And it's, you know, once again, in terms of weight gain, if there's weight, you know, if there's more calories coming in than you're exerting, you will naturally start to gain weight. If there's a stimulus being presented in the form of weight training, and you're breaking down muscle, after a couple of pounds of gain in fat, the body will understand that it needs to use those resources to build. As long as that, if there's a constant stimulus,
yeah, gotcha,
and there's a requirement to build muscle, eventually the body will start to use that energy to start building muscle cells.
Yeah.
Eventually. But, eventually. But,
I waited 45 years for this moment.
but there's a theory still applies, because people won't argue with the fact that to build muscle you need to have more calories, because you need, you know, you need more units of energy to build cells.
Yeah.
People don't argue with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people always argue with in reverse.
Yeah.
To lose cells,
gotcha,
there needs to be a lack of energy. Yeah. That's where people argue, because it's hard to stick to.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason why that won't, because once again, to burn, I know you guys work in kilos, so that'd be 7,000 calories is what the body will require to lose before you can lose a kilogram of weight. So you need to be in a deficit of 7,000 calories. So let's say, for example, you did.
Wow, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you put yourself in a deficit of 350 calories a day for 10 days, you would be guaranteed to lose a kilo.
Wow, okay, yep.
Okay, same in reverse. If you had in excess of 350 calories a day for 10 days, you would likely gain a kilo.
Gotcha.
So the reason why people struggle to lose weight with that concept is they might not, especially if they're tracking food, they might be tracking inaccurately, which is an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be tracking things that they think they don't need to track, things like coffees and
condiments or something.
Absolutely,
like
condiments, for whatever reason, if it's outside of medication, or once again, if you've got genuine, it's not just medications and thyroids. You have polycystic ovary syndrome in females.
Okay.
Menopause can cause an issue, but it's all down to hormonal differences.
Yeah, gotcha.
So as long as the body's experiencing normal hormonal levels, for the average person, the average healthy, fit person, that's the theory that applies for weight gain and for weight loss.
Yeah, beautiful.
As for performance, same theory in the sense that if you're trying to maintain as much energy as you can to keep your workouts filled the best you can, you need to make sure, the likelihood is if you're performing to a high rate, you're probably burning a heavy amount of calories.
Yeah.
Because you've got the double whammy of burning a shedload of calories whilst you're training,
mm-hmm,
as well as breaking a lot of muscle down as a result of the training, so therefore that's where those calories would be required. One, just to replenish your energy stores.
Gotcha.
And then extra energy then in the form of calories then to be able to replenish and build your muscle.
Makes sense.
So same again. And once it, but also with performance then, as we spoke about with the Riot Club, comes dehydration from sweating and losing salts.
Mm.
So it's not just a case of having the big macronutrients, so getting the carbs and the proteins and the fats in.
The hydrating.
It's also worrying about your micronutrients, your vitamins, your minerals, your fluid levels. It sounds a lot more complicated than it is, and that's why I believe as long as people eat that, I know people don't like that term balanced diet, but for as long as people are having a good source of protein, eating vegetables, eating their fruits where all of these minerals can be found, it doesn't have to be complicated. And one thing that I proved to people during my program was it's not a case of I can either eat the way I do now, or I have to eat like a rabbit for the next 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Because based on the calorie theory, and even though it wouldn't be the best for health, I mean, like I said, your blood pressure and your cholesterol would be through the roof, but you could maintain your weight eating macros if you wanted to.
Yeah.
If I needed 2,000 calories, if I had a McMuffin for breakfast and a Big Mac for lunch, as long as it was under my 2,000 calories, I would stay the same weight. Once again, my health would deteriorate.
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of my stats would obviously be all over the place, but in terms of my body weight, that would, it would be able to be okay to stay the same weight.
Yeah.
But like I said, that you wouldn't be able to perform on that food.
Yeah.
And like I said, you wouldn't be in the best of health.
And all those markers would be all over.
Exactly.
The place,
but in terms of your body weight or your body mass, you would be able to sustain yourself eating that food.
Jesus, ladies and gentlemen.
Which is good news, because once again, if the weekend comes and you fancy your markers go for gold. And that's the same for a lot of clients assume that they had to give up alcohol, they had to give up meals with the family. You don't have to give up anything. It's the frequency and the consistency of what you do in terms of the, and I don't want to call them bad habits, just the reason why they would be considered bad is, for a beer, for example, it would be the same in a beer as it would be in a decent sized meal. So that's the difference. When it's liquid calories, because we don't just drink a beer.
Yeah.
Like me.
750.
It's in the double figures. That's typically what people do to trip themselves up is they'll do well for a certain amount. They might be just getting to the point where they might lose that kilo, and they'll just do something then which puts them back into that surplus. Yeah. which prevents them from getting into that deficit, because 7,000 calories is a lot, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the whole time conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We get hung up on, we slip up during the day, like you said, maybe we push out and have a burger, have a couple of beers. It's not the end of the world,
exactly. Or people might trip up on a Wednesday or a Thursday, they think, oh, I've ruined this week, I'll start fresh on Monday. And it's a case of treating every single day as an individual day.
Mm.
You know, and just being consistent and persistent, and then, you know, for as long as you are being honest with yourself and doing what you know to do, the results will follow.
Love that, mate. Love that. Like, really love that. I hope you guys get that, because that's some gold insights and knowledge there. It's really good. Well, just signing off, any sort of non-negotiable for you in terms of, as a trainer, as an ex-PDI, do you have any sort of hard line, principle, rules, non-negotiables?
So,
anything spring to mind?
Don't be, you know, it's a case of not being afraid to make it an ass of yourself every now and again. in the sense of, and I know we use terms like comfort zones, and we use, you know, different terminologies, but it's a case of trying to understand exactly where you are now, where you want to be, and choosing something which isn't completely unrealistic, but it's going to take you 5 years to achieve.
Mm.
Even though you can have that vision down that goal, is just choosing something that you know is going to challenge you enough that if you, you know, because CrossFit is a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, for people who can't do pull-ups, can't do, you know, they see people doing muscle-ups, they see people doing all this weird and wonderful stuff. Come in and just try, you know, be willing enough to make a little bit of a dick of yourself so that you can, so that you can progress.
Yeah.
And I think my only non-negotiable is being satisfied with where you are.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that anyone, and I know it's a lovely thing to say, is like, you're great the way you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that might be, but you're not fine the way you are. You can be better than what you are.
Yeah.
I know that sounds very
cliche. No, it's good, man. It's
but it's just don't settle. You know, whatever you've achieved, you know, give yourself a pat on the back and just ask yourself what's going to be next. And just don't settle with what you have. Always strive for more.
Oh, I love that. And I just love the fact, like, your level of humility, the way you are and how you explain that. I just think it's really neat. Like, it's neat for people to hear. Because I know, you know, sometimes people, not necessarily put people on pedestals, but trainers and ex-military like yourself, they get a bit of a cookie cutter impression, and to hear somebody like yourself just explain, it's okay, you know, accept as you are, but no, you can be better, and just come in as you are, and there's that potential to grow and change.
I mean, I'll be honest, I mean, since I started back my university term, going back about 3-4 weeks ago, but even before then, since I moved to Australia, I've just been, a friend of mine, I've been working towards this goal for the last 10 years. I moved to Australia and I was living out my dream, and because I was so excited to be here, my priorities changed. I was just going to the beach every day. I was just making the most of all the different foods that you got here. And I put on 5-6 kilos since I moved to Australia.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, certain reasons. One, because I'm just a greedy shit, right? Because I was greedy. You know, I stopped training jiu-jitsu as much as I was, injury and everything else. But anyway, my life changed and I gained weight.
Mm.
But I knew I was, you know, but I just thought, screw it. You know, I've trained my ass off for a couple of months. So I'm just going to enjoy the rewards of what I've worked towards, and it just falls in perfect time with what, obviously, what we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks. That I'm now going to get my shit together and going to drop the weight. That's what I'm trying to say.
Help us all get our shit together. Right?
Exactly. We've all got our, you know, got our problems. We've all got shit going on, and I mean, ultimately, it's understanding that we can catch it before it gets too late. And like I said, nobody's perfect. But it's understanding when it's time to, like I said, sort yourself out.
Time to just come on back.
No, but absolutely, like I said, even though I don't do things perfect 100% of the time, I don't expect anyone to.
Yeah.
You know, it's because that's not
a tough bench. It's a tough benchmark.
Absolutely.
Trying to do that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's not sustainable. So,
agreed.
But like I said, I just tipped the scales a little bit too much. I was just playing a little bit too harder than I was working. But
just enjoying the beach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And totally entitled to it. Mate, Joe, honestly, thank you for your time, brother.
It's a pleasure, mate.
Thank you for your wisdom and your insights again. I know people get a lot of benefit. Watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to reach out and even just talk to Joe, as you can tell, he's a wealth of knowledge and he's very happy to have conversations with people. I've been super impressed in the few conversations that Joe and I have had. And mate, thank you so much, brother.
It's a pleasure.
My man. Awesome.
The Pure Jamie Milne Podcast.